Losers podcast, taking a look at formerly Wizard World Chicago, which was formerly Chicago Comic-Con, which will now be Chicago Comic-Con again.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, it's great, fantastic. But welcome to the show. I am dirt. Like, I guess we'll just start there. I don't know. I'm drinking a beer, so I'm a little. Yeah. I'm a little. Weird.
Dirt's a little wasted right now. I'm the ball.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Sorry.
I was gonna give you an introduction.
I appreciate it. No, that's cool.
Go over some of your theater credits.
That's cool. They know.
All right. So anyway,
I'm like the bit player next to Pixel Dan.
I was actually hoping to record this in the car on the way home, and then Duvall and his wife were spending an extra day up in Chicago. So
I had to go to IKEA, dude.
So podcast thrown off a day there. But,
sorry.
But still, though, fun show. It was a good show.
No.
What?
No.
What are you talking about?
It was Celebrity Chicago Comic Con.
What?
Okay, did you not see, like, the tons of celebrities and the, like, 10 exhibitors, if that?
I saw Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I saw Jerry Lawler hitting on Candace Michelle.
Yeah, that's spectacular. It happens every week on Raw.
Saw the Honky Tonk Man complaining about Virgil.
Okay, that happens every day, I'm sure.
I shook hands and got a bro hug from X-Pac.
Did you shower when you got home?
Dude, I burned my clothes immediately, but... Hey, he's a nice guy, I guess, and whatever.
He was probably drunk and high.
Fair enough.
No, I mean...
There was no Marvel booth.
No. Nope.
There was no DC booth.
Nope.
There was no Image booth. There was no Dark Horse booth. I mean, like, the only two companies that had large booths besides Wizard, who owns the show, were Aspen Comics, which has a big booth every year, but of course Michael Turner passed away, so they're trying to figure out what they're doing.
So they're selling off most of his artwork, apparently.
Yeah, they're selling off his artwork and more sketchbooks, you know, galleries. And then the only other company that I saw with a large booth was Avatar. Which is basically anything Warren Ellis feels like doing, and they're never any good, and one good book from Christos Gage, Absolution, and that's the only thing that Avatar puts out.
You know, and the other big booths were, the other two big booths that I can think of was that weren't dealers was Diamond Comics.
Did they have a big booth?
Yeah, they had three booths set up next. They had, like... The one
well, they had the
Diamond
store.
They had the store, and then across the aisle was their retailer incentive, and then they had another booth that kind of wrapped around the corner that was giving away prizes and stuff.
Oh, see, I didn't see that part.
Yeah,
that was
and then
away.
It was right behind Tonner Dolls.
Ah, well, see, I was distracted by Tonner.
Yeah, see, that's I spent most of my day at Tonner.
Right,
so.
Right. There you go.
You know, I don't know. The convention was okay, I guess. There were a lot
Who was the other one? You said the only two.
That was it, Diamond and Tonner.
Oh, and Tonner. Okay.
Tonner had a big... Tonner always
well,
had a big
that's,
booth.
Yeah, that's the same booth they always have, though. They always have a large display.
Yeah, well, Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, and they're always right when you walk in, too.
Mm-hmm.
They always have a good location, so...
I don't know. I mean, the convention was okay, I guess. I guess I didn't expect much out of Chicago this year, because it's slowly starting to die. I think a lot of the big companies, Mattel, Hasbro, Marvel, DC, Image, they're all just, like, starting to turn their backs on Wizard, which is really weird considering that Wizard Comics is still publishing both Wizard Comics and Toy Fair.
Wizard Magazine, about comics.
Which still, I mean, they're still publishing, they're still giving these publishers and these companies a lot of news, but it's like these companies don't want to support their conventions
anymore.
Well,
yeah, but Wizard is becoming an anachronism. They're becoming...
Good use of the word.
Thanks.
That's nice.
Because it's the internet age. You don't need a magazine.
Right, exactly.
And it's not like Wizard really brings anything new to the table. They most of their stuff is the same... I hate using the term fanboy, but it's that same fanboy-driven stuff that they've been doing since day one, where it's, you know, these are the top 10 villains of all time, and these are the 50 craziest stories we ever read, and it's like... I can read that on X Entertainment. I can read that on Cracked. I can read that on the Yugo Network, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't need Wizard.
I read Wizard and Toy Fair every month, and Wizard has been, I don't know, like maybe 4 out of 12 issues I find like a good article that's actually insightful and informative. And then Toy Fair, they always do like, they've been doing a lot of nostalgic 1980s articles,
right,
which have been really good and well put together, but it's like, I could find all that information all I wanted to.
The other thing that I didn't really think about until just a few moments ago was that there were no... I don't know what term to use, but usually there's a video game company there. You mentioned Hasbro and Mattel weren't there this year. They've had big booths in the past, but last year we had Sony had a large presence, a large booth. They weren't there. The year before that, Activision had a huge BioShock.
Yeah.
If you remember, they were running BioShock demos. They had high-end PCs set up playing BioShock and
the
360s.
The statue of Big Daddy there.
And there was none of that this year. And I think part of it is probably because it's so close to San Diego.
That's part of it. I mean, that was the same deal last year. But
on the one hand, you don't want to have them too far separated because there's a sense of excitement that comes from San Diego, and they're kind of riding, you know, that trail of excitement where you're like, you're jazzed up for all this stuff because you heard about it from San Diego. But at the same time, you know, almost every panel I went to made some joke about how, oh, you know, I hope this panel's okay. We're all still kind of worn out from San Diego.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like that was, what, 2 weeks ago?
Almost three, yeah.
Yeah. So...
And the other reason is a lot of these companies now, there's another Chicago Comic Convention in April put on by the same company that puts on the New York Comic Con called C2E2, what is the C2E2?
I don't know what it stands for.
Comic Convention and Entertainment Expo.
There you go.
I had to think about it for a second. But the funny thing is, a lot of these companies don't support the Chicago Comic Con, but the C2E2, since it's put on by the same people who do New York Comic Con, which has now become the second largest comic convention in the world, they're now supporting C2E2. So all these companies we just talked about are going to be at C2E2 in that same building in less than 6 months.
Yeah, and that's also in the spring.
Yeah.
So it's a different season, it's a different environment, and it's far enough away. Like, it's going to precede San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to fill the gap, really, in between New York and...
Well, New York's in October next year.
Yeah.
So...
So they're really trying to find a different spot to put it, which is, I don't know, it's kind of sad to see Chicago Comic Con go away, because, I mean, I think I went to my first one in 92 or 93.
Yeah, I know I went to my first one in, like, 97.
Yeah, so it's kind of sad to think that, you know, it's dying off and being replaced, but, you know, you just really couldn't get past the fact that, you know, I was walking through... At one point, and there was the Virgil booth. Virgil is at every con, you know, every state fair, whatever. There's Virgil.
Don't talk to him. You'll get stuck with him for 25 minutes.
But Virgil actually brought Ted DiBiase. Ted came this time.
Yeah.
So his sign always says Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and Virgil, and it's always just Virgil. Well, this time Ted was there. He had the Million Dollar Belt. I don't know why Ted was there. I don't know what the deal was, but he was there. So, you know, there was actually a lot of traffic going through. And apparently Virgil had made some verbal agreement with Honky Tonk Man, and I don't know if they were going to go out drinking or what the deal was. But about 3 o'clock, 3:30, Virgil and Ted split, and Honky Tonk Man was just sitting there. And so I come by, and Honky Tonk Man is, I think he was talking to... what's her name? Christy Hemme. We're sitting there talking to Christy Hemme. He's like, ah, oh, that Virgil took off without me. And he's like, wow, how bad is it when you get ditched by Virgil?
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
It's pretty bad.
I remember that one year Scotty Cash got stuck talking to him, and there's actually video of it, and we'll have to ask Pixel to pull it up sometime, but... there's actually video of them filming. They were standing in line for the Dark Knight panel, and they kept getting farther away, and Dan kept turning the camera, and Scott was still standing there talking to Virgil, and they just kept getting farther and farther and farther away from him, and he's still standing there talking to Virgil.
But, I mean, they always have celebrities. There's always, you know, last year had Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, but this year was like, it was just like...
Oh, yeah, I mean, this year was crazy. It was crazy. There were, we talked about Virgil, Ted DiBiase, Honky Tonk Man, Christy Hemme, Jerry Lawler, Victoria, who is now Tara in, TNA. TNA.
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash was there. Demolition was there.
X-Pac.
Yeah, X-Pac was there. JR was supposed to be there, but he didn't make it.
Odd.
I don't know what that is about. But that may have to do with ROH has some deal where they're using Jerry Lawler and JR during an autograph signing in the Chicago area. So that may tie in more with that than the con.
And then you also had, like, Billy Dee Williams and the guy that played part of Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, and Michelle Rodriguez. Yeah. And somebody from Battlestar Galactica. I don't even know.
Edward James Olmos was there from the new Battlestar Galactica.
I guess a bunch of Twilight people?
Cameron Bright was there, who played Leech in X-Men The Last Stand.
Oh, well,
then he's one of the werewolves in the new, you know, I believe he's one of the werewolves. I don't know.
You mentioned Ray Park?
Ray Park was there.
Yeah, and so
Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson. That was cool. That was cool.
He was charging $20 to get signed of your to get your item signed. I can't talk tonight. And then he was charging $25 to sign a picture that you had to buy. And then he was charging, I think, $15 to get your picture taken with him.
Yeah, it was
okay. Let's talk for a minute, folks. No offense to anyone out there who is a has-been, because trust me. Dirt and I, we're just internet famous, so it doesn't really count. But anyone out there who's a has-been, and you're charging that much money, are times really that desperate where you can't actually go out and get a decent-paying job?
Like, no, I don't
something?
Understand. Like, if you are selling your own picture, I mean, obviously, charge...
Right.
Charge money for the picture, sit there and sign it for the person handed to them. And if you feel that that's worth $20, then that's fine. That's your call. But when you're charging... to sign an item that a person is bringing up. Like, if someone's going to walk up with a stack of five things, you're going to be like, all right, you're paying $50 because you're obviously selling this.
Right.
You know. Some guy's going to walk up with some DVD case or soundtrack or something that they just want you to sign because they're a fan. Sign it.
Yeah.
Don't charge money for it. That's just alienating your fans.
Yeah.
Speaking of soundtrack, that reminds me. One other celebrity who was there... Taylor Dane.
Yeah, didn't she just have a hit album like...
Like 20 years ago?
Oh, true.
Yeah, so...
That was odd. Let me tell you a little story real quick. This goes with our little has-been talk, but... You were in panels.
Yeah, I spent about 6 hours in panels.
Right. The rest of us, me, Killen, Pixel Dance, Scotty Cash, and Eno Bandito from Retroware, and my wife, were in the green room. At Comic-Con, which is upstairs, which you look at the large...
Which I didn't hear about till after I left. It's like, oh yeah, there's a press room that you guys could have... You could have gotten bottled water and had a place to sit. And I'm like, really? That would have been nice to know about 6 hours ago.
So we walk up there, and there's some lady interviewing some guy. So we're all quiet, we're all respectful, you know, we're all like, shh, you know. They get done, and the guy's like, we're looking out the window, we're enjoying the water, just enjoying the sight of the con. Pixel Dan's filming out the window. And the guy goes, real real heavy British accent, y'all, are you here for the show? And we thought he was talking about the Comic-Con, so I turned around and I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, good, you know, Michelle Nichols will be up in a little bit, so if you have any questions or anything, just... And we're like, whoa, wait, what? What are you talking about? Like, we thought you were talking about something else, man. We're not here for that, sorry. He's like, oh, all right. Michelle Nichols comes up, Uhura, from the original Star Trek.
Right.
And she's like, are all these people here for the show? And he's like, no. And she's like... They shouldn't be here. What are you doing? She like starts snapping at us. And I wish you could have seen Killen's face because you turn around looking at him and he's like, who the hell is this black woman and why is she cussing? I'm so confused. And Scott and Dan were like, Dan was like, no, this is the green room. We were told to come up here. And she gets all pissed and storms off down the stairs followed by this guy. And we're all looking at each other and my wife comes up and she goes, who was that? And I go, well, babe, if you don't know who that was, then don't worry about it.
Yeah, that tells you the whole story.
Yeah, that tells you right there.
Because, I mean, for me, if I had known that, I would have started busting out questions. But I'm a Star Trek nerd. So that would have been, for me, that would have been awesome. I would have started snapping pictures.
The thing I left out is she was angry. She's like, oh, they better not be taking my picture then. And he's like, no, they're not taking your picture. It's fine. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Seriously? You're worried about someone taking a picture of your old ass? Come on now. Seriously.
Now, see, I will say...
what was the last thing you did? The Spirit Awards?
One thing I did, I took a bunch of pictures. I was uploading them to our website. And so I found a corner I sat down on the floor, and I'm just uploading these pictures, and the Wi-Fi in that place just
sucked ass. Oh, yeah, it was awful.
And so it took, like, a half hour to upload 20 pictures. So I'm just sitting there and letting this thing upload and, you know, trying to fight it. And I look up and I realize I'm sitting 20 feet from Aaron Gray's table.
Huh.
Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers. Also from Jason Goes to Hell, the Final Friday.
Right.
So I have my
Did she get her head shoved through a... Was that the Final Friday where she was selling plaster casts?
No, that was someone else. That was the lady who died in part 6.
I'm sorry. Go on.
Yes.
Anyway. Apologize.
But, no, so she's sitting there, and she's, you know, signing autographs or something, and some guy walks up, and he's, you know, talking to her, and she's smiling, and I'm just kind of like, wow, she fakes being polite very well, you know, because you know that she's watching all these sweaty, fat dudes come up, and, you know, everybody wants this signed photo, and they're saying how much they used to have the hots for her in the 70s, and, you know, this has got to be, like, the most humiliating thing to do, and I'm just watching this, and, the guy says something, and he puts his hands on his stomach. I can almost hear him saying something like, oh, you know, I was trying to work out and get rid of this, and I can't do it. She stands up, takes two steps back from her table, and starts doing yoga.
Ooh.
And just starts showing off yoga poses and breathing poses and, like, lifting her leg up and putting, like, the heel from her foot, like, up by her shoulder.
Isn't she in, like, her 60s?
Yeah, she's... I don't know how, but from 20 feet away, she could have passed for 40.
Good
you
God,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it was just one of those things where I'm like, she has to genuinely be the nicest person on the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everyone else, you see someone like, Christy Hemme. Someone walks up and she's like, oh, hi. And then they hand her something and she signs it, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
And then they walk away and it's just, the smile just melts off.
And she's like,
And you can just see it in her face that she's like, oh, I wish I was drunk, you know. But, Aaron Gray just sitting there smiling, signing autographs, talking to people.
We want all you guys out there who are fans of us, so whether it's the show or the websites, that you ever catch us at a convention and... Trust me, we're not fake. You want to, like, come up and talk to us and hang out, we will, like, literally hang out. We will make you sick of us. Literally. You will get...
No. We won't make you sick. We'll just make you awkward.
Yeah.
We'll put you in a very awkward position very quickly.
Yeah, because let me tell you what, you've never spent time...
Just ask Lance. Go to RetroWearTV.com.
Go ask Ito
Bandito. Go to the forums. Find Ito. And just ask him how awkward it was. Just ask him how awkward it was to hit the top.
Yeah.
And we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. It was good times. But you said you spent, 6 hours in panels?
Yeah. So, okay. First panel I go to was, more importantly, it was really hot and sweaty.
Air conditioning was broken the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center,
well,
ladies and gentlemen.
No, it wasn't broken. It was working, but there's only so much it can do. But the panel rooms had a much better air conditioning system.
Yeah.
So they were actually pretty cool, and they had ice-cold water available.
Mm.
So I was looking for a place to sit down, a place to get a drink, and a place to cool off. So I'm like, I'm doing panels. I was like, I'll see you guys in, you know, 5 hours. I'm going to go do panels. So the first panel I go to was Defining Comics, Understanding the Culture, and it was sponsored by the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, which, oddly enough, I got accepted into in 1994. We just couldn't afford it.
But I
came this close, and you can't see this because it's a podcast, but I came this close to being a professional artist going to the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. So I found it interesting, but it's one of those things that I don't even want to get started on what they talked about because that would be a whole podcast, and we're already 19 minutes into this one. The second one I went to, I'm actually going to come back to later, but all the sign said was Alien Trespass.
Mm.
And I thought, well, you know, what the heck, what have I got to lose? We'll come back to that one. Next was Mondo Marvel, which was the Marvel Comics panel. And really, they didn't announce a whole lot of anything.
Yeah.
There's a new Spider-Man series set during Secret Wars that's going to be from his point of view.
Wait, 86 Secret Wars?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And talking about how he got the black costume and all that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
I don't remember how many issues they said it was, but anyway. There was that was big news. Let's see. There was that is big news.
It was a good panel.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, it's like War of Kings is over, so they're doing Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, who do Nova, and they did War of Kings. They do all the great outer space stuff. They're doing Guardians of the Galaxy. They're doing the new Reign of Kings story. They're writing like 6 different books all set in outer space, so they're tying up everything.
Really trying to take all those characters from the outer space world.
They're just trying to make something that cohesive out of them that works. Yeah. And so that's going to be interesting. The other thing is that they're trying to tie up all the Avengers books, because you got Dark Avengers, Mighty Avengers, New Avengers, Young Avengers. Avengers the Initiative just became something else. It's like Avengers. Yeah.
Aren't they just trying to tie it all into one Avengers team now?
Well, not so much one team as much as one universe. Like what they do with the Batman books over in DC, it's going to be the Avengers books over in Marvel.
Yeah.
And the last thing that was interesting was they were talking about Amazing Spider-Man. Dan Slott is taking over a lot of the writing duties in Amazing. And they're going to have Spider-Man going head-to-head with Norman Osborn to bring about the final part of Dark Reign. So,
which figures it was only going to come down to those two.
Yeah, so
there was no outcome besides that, really.
So that was the big news out of Marvel. The DC panel, I mean, really, again, there wasn't really a whole lot in the DC panel. They just kind of talked about there are more books that they could have classified as Blackest Night coming out in DC because it's going to cross over to so much stuff, but they're only putting the Blackest Night banner on certain key books that they feel are more important, because it will be felt in other books. But unlike, you know, what they used to do in the 80s, you'd have a book like Crisis and everything where, you know, it's like one panel where someone's going, oh, the sky is red. And it's like Crisis, you know, on the title. So they're saying they're kind of staying away from that. And only the key stuff is going to have that. They talked about a new Batman series set, you know, in that weird golden age time that doesn't really exist, but it's part of the history, you know. So it's going to be
something they killed when they did.
Yeah, it's
original,
like
Crisis,
Doc Savage, and the Black Hawks, and Will Eisner's Spirit.
Yeah,
and,
which actually is interesting that they do something like that with crossing over Doc Savage and the Spirit. Like, those are the two main characters that I thought.
Those are Bronze Age classic.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting to see what they do, because here he is teaming up with people who don't have superpowers, which
and I just said
really unique
Bronze Age because he was the man in bronze.
Man in bronze, but that's
the Golden Age. But
yeah,
anyway,
yeah, okay.
But I mean, really, like, that was it from the DC panel, because, you know, they really blew their wad in San Diego, so there wasn't really a whole lot else to talk about. And then there was the Twilight panel.
I didn't go to the Twilight panel.
But I saw the lines for the Twilight panel, and boy, are they freaky. You either have the goth kids who scare the crap out of me, or you have the super yuppie suburbanite girls who scare the crap out of me.
Were they all wearing I Dig Boys Who Sparkle? Or I Love Boys That Sparkle? We saw one of those shirts, and I just went, oh, my God.
I don't even know what that means. So it was like you had those two different groups, you know, coming together for that panel. And
that's got to be like, isn't it like the end of the world, like the end of days?
Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria.
But anyway, what I really want to spend some time on, though, is Alien Trespass. Now this, okay, so the sign says Alien Trespass. I have no idea what that means, but they were holding it in Room A, which is one of the two big rooms, two massive, massive rooms. They have big, digital projectors set up. They were actually filming these and putting them online. I was like, oh, I'll check it out. You know, I'll see whatever the heck it is. So I'm just sitting there and I'm waiting, and suddenly the lights dim, and on the screen they play like 8 minutes of clips from the X-Files. And then the lights come up, and R.W. Goodwin comes out. He was a executive producer, co-producer, and director on the X-Files. So all the clips they showed were clips of episodes that he personally had a hand in with the directing.
Right, and he was literally a part of the entire series.
Yeah, he was there, as far as I know, he was there from start to finish and both movies.
Right.
So that was interesting. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of a cool thing. So then they played clips from the X-Files again, this time showing Scully's mom. like every episode of Scully's mom. And again, they like another 8 minutes of clips from the X-Files. And I'm like, wow, this is the X-Files reunion panel. This is great. So, you know, she comes out, and she's actually married, Sheila Larkin, married to R.W. Goodwin. And so then, I'm like, okay, that's cool. Then they start showing more clips, and this time they show clips of Dan Loria. He was the dad on Wonder Years.
Right.
He was also in a miniseries called The Road to 9/11, which kind of talked about everything that happened during the first Bush years and the Clinton years that kind of set everything up that happened on 9/11.
Right.
So he was in that miniseries. They were showing all those clips from that. And he comes out, and they go, you know, we have this new movie coming out. It's coming, you know, straight to DVD and Blu-ray. It's called Alien Trespass. And he's like, let's just go ahead and show a teaser. So the lights go dim again. And at this point, this is 25 minutes into the panel.
Right.
I still have no idea what's going on. All I know is this director, his wife who's an actress, and the dad from Wonder Years. And there's some sort of movie. So the demo reel starts to go, and what we saw is the trailer that you saw just a couple moments ago.
Right.
That I played to you right before we started recording. Explain what you saw.
Which one? The first one I saw or the second one?
The one...
Okay, I know which one. So basically you get like...
With the interviews.
Okay. Basically you're like... it started out and it's like, I'm Eric McCormick from... You know, he was... You know,
Will
he
Grace.
Was in Will and Grace. And it's like, I'm Robert Patrick, who was the T-1000, and I'm Dan Loria. And like, they're like, 50 years ago, and Eric McCormick's like, my great-grandfather, whatever it was in a film called Alien Trespass. And they go into this, like, history reel almost of this this mysterious movie from the 1950s that was created that actually was starred Eric McCormick's grandfather. You can't see my quotation marks, but grandfather.
Quotation fingers.
Named M. Eric McCormick, and they called him Merrick, is what their fans call him. I mean, it was pretty funny. And they talk about how this was supposed to be like this company's big feature. They'd made all these other movies, and Alien Trespass was supposed to be the film, the you know, throw them into the stratosphere of the film industry. And Merrick couldn't come to terms with a new contract, so they basically said they were going to not release Alien Trespass. They were going to destroy all the negatives and all the film reels that they'd already pressed, and that was to be the end of it. Flash forward 50 years later, and the studio, the lot where this studio stood, they had destroyed the studio. They were doing construction, and they found a box buried in the ground, and in this metal box was reels, and on these reels, of course, was the legendary film Alien Trespass. And from there, it kind of goes into these 1950-style interviews that you would have seen on a newsreel or on a black-and-white TV, talking to the stars about the film. So it was very interesting. You could see right away that they were really giving a lot of love to this genre of film that, you know... Well, it appeared to me just from the trailer and from what little of the movie I saw that they really went to great lengths to basically recreate everything they could about making a movie in the 1950s and making it awful. But awful in a good way. It's like, not awful bad. It's awful in a good way.
Well, and I kind of had this feeling. I actually asked Goodwin. I said, is the movie presented with this supplemental footage we just saw about how they lost it and, you know, it's being found? And he said, not really. He goes, the movie opens with a newsreel. There's one about, like, this probe going into space and then something else. And then the final part is just, you know, a minute talking about how they couldn't come to terms on the contract and the movie was being shelved. And then it goes into the movie. So that is only there to get the viewer to the point where they're thinking this is a movie from the 50s.
Right.
But other than that, it's played straight up like a 1950s sci-fi movie from the way it's directed to, you know, the sets, the props, the costumes.
The monsters.
The monster. It's a guy in a big rubber suit.
The acting.
Yes. Actually, the acting, the dialogue and the way they would present it, the way they would, you know, square their shoulders with the camera and say the line and... you know, project themselves out there was totally in line with what you would expect from, you know, It Came from Outer Space or any of those.
Yeah, or the classic Blob and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so, So when I watched it, I originally thought it was going to be more of a spoof type movie. Because they talked about how there's stuff like someone's walking down the street, and or he's walking in the desert, and they have like the background painted on a canvas, and the guys are pulling the canvas by him while he's walking in place, you know, and that kind of stuff. Or they're driving in the truck, and they've got it zooming by, and they hit the brakes, and the background keeps moving for an extra second.
While they're braking, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be some comedy, but it's really not.
No, it's all straight-laced.
Yeah, it's funny only in the sense that it would be just as funny if you're watching a movie from the 50s and thinking, oh my God, this is so outdated.
Right.
Because they played it straight up the line. Like they were in the 50s making this movie.
And I got to say, I think I walked in right in the middle of it.
I would say more like two-thirds.
About two-thirds into it. And sat down and watched it. And I remember walking in and I was like, what are you watching? He's like, the movie. And I'm like, what movie? Like, I knew. I was like, what are you watching? He's like, Alien Trespass. I'm like, oh.
Now,
this actually
comes out this Tuesday.
Right.
We're filming this. We're recording this on Sunday night. Movie comes out August the 11th on Blu-ray and DVD. And one other thing that we noticed on this disc that's fantastic are there are two different trailers.
Yes.
They have a trailer which looks like a 50s trailer.
Yes.
They've taken all that footage and they've run it through a digital process where it looks scratchy.
And grainy.
The sound is that like canned stereo crackling, and the graphics on the screen are what you would expect from the 50s movie. Terrifying, fantastic, you know, that kind of stuff. But then they have a second trailer.
Which is actually really awesome.
And this trailer is... You know, when you sit down today and you watch a movie like the War of the Worlds remake or Last Man on Earth, or what did they call it, with Will Smith?
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend. You know, one of those type movies, they cut a trailer to match that style of what the modern day monster movie is, the modern day sci-fi scary movie is. And so... it was great to you know, really see that connection between the classic movies and the modern movies. But in the panel, they were talking about how they created this monster, and it's a guy in a foam rubber suit. He's a big one-eyed monster.
One big, and it's red.
this one-eyed monster, and everyone kind of jokes. They're like, ha ha ha, the one-eyed monster. And R.W. Goodman goes, no, it's... It looks like a big penis. And Dan Loria goes, yeah, it's one giant, and it's a word I won't repeat on this podcast, but that's exactly what he called it. And it is. It's a giant green thing with a big red eye.
Giant phallic symbol.
and they said it wasn't really intentional. Like, once they started filming, they were like, you know, this looks like a
I'm noticing from the pictures that he's been ribbed for their pleasure.
Well, and he's also got dreadlock bangs. I don't know what that's about.
I'm not sure either.
But, you know, so your classic monster movie, and it's just great. Like, this is one of those movies where, if this had come out when I was in college, I probably would have watched this four times a day for a week straight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is just one of those movies where, you know, you're just like, oh my God, sit down and watch this. Like, who are you? Have we met? Sit down and watch this movie.
Yeah.
Like, this is destined to be a cult classic if anybody finds it. So I'm trying to get the word out on it because, I mean, this is a great movie.
I mean, you've got your classic alien hero named Erp. Yeah. Literally spelled U-R-P. Erp.
That's the alien who's come to protect us from the Gota, which is the giant phallic symbol running around. And did you notice Erp? When he comes out of the spaceship at the end, it's a guy in a suit with a big fake head that makes him look 3 feet taller.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. Nice.
It's awesome.
So, listen, this is all I gotta say. I love this movie, Alien Trespass. You know, we've got the DVD here, but I'm sure there'll be a Blu-ray copy on my shelf by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is something that if you've got any sort of event coming up, just have someone get it for you for your birthday, or graduation, or
I can't wait to see this on Blu-ray, especially that old nasty dirty trailer in 1080p high def. That's going to be spectacular.
And they talked about
it'll kind of be like watching Wayne's World or Wayne's World 2 on Blu-ray. It should be just as bad and awful looking.
But they talked about in the panel that They used CGI only shots of the spaceship in space, and that was because of budget reasons.
Yeah.
But even then, they tried to make it look like a model. Like, they had to do CGI because that was the only way to afford it. So doing the CGI, they tried to make it look as terrible as CGI, like as realistic, a cheesy-looking model flying through space.
Yeah.
And so,
surprised they didn't, like, CGI the string in.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. But, Dan Loria, someone said something like, do you think that, you know, CGI in movies these days kind of ruins the movie-making experience? And R.W. Goodwin is just like, don't get Dan started on this. And Dan goes, okay. And he went into, like, this 10-minute spiel about movies and making movies and character development and how none of that exists anymore in modern-day movies. He says, you know, you'll get it in, like, your adult contemporary drama, whatever, but anything that's science fiction, horror, anything like that, there's no characters.
It's, no.
It's just all about the special effects.
Unless you count, like, as much as I hate to say it, Devil's Rejects.
Ugh.
Like, that was the only horror movie. Well, that was the only horror movie I've seen in the last, like, 10 years that actually took some time to develop these three characters and made them into these, like... I mean, let's forget House of a Thousand Corpses. Let's just forget it. But The Devil's Rejects actually had a lot of great moments in it.
Actually, you should watch The Strangers.
I've heard that.
Yeah. But, okay, anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I moved on.
So I really wanted to spend some time talking about that panel, because that was great, and watch the movie today, fantastic.
Yeah,
you guys got to check it out.
It was a lot of fun. I told Dirt it was my new favorite movie. I can't wait to go home and have my wife watch it tomorrow after I go see Harry Potter.
You haven't seen Harry Potter?
I haven't had time.
Dude,
man.
It's been like 3 weeks.
I know, but I did get to go to the Harry Potter experience at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. Of course, they won't let you take pictures or video of any of this stuff.
Well, then...
But it was cool.
I guess. But...
I got to stand next to Robert Pattinson's clothes. It was so good. Sorry.
All right, going back to the convention.
Yeah.
So, of course, the two other big things of the convention are the... where you buy stuff.
Oh, the dealer tables.
The dealer tables, sure. Merchandise booths.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
and Artist Alley.
And then Artist Alley. That's
which
the other one.
Apparently Killen, Scotty Cash, and Pixel Dan became addicted to Artist Alley. And dude. No fault of their own, because these artists, I mean, they're all gonna make money, and they're really talented. I don't know how much money Killen spent.
$200 about.
On art.
Yes. At $5-$10 a pop.
Yeah.
Yeah. $200. That tells you the amount of artwork. He found this guy. and I don't know the guy's name. If I can find it, I'll post it on our message board. But this
he's
guy,
talented.
This well, no, I don't know. No, I'm,
oh,
you, I don't think you saw these.
I might not have.
But
I saw
anyway,
a lot of it.
This guy had, you know, whatever artwork he was trying to do, whatever comics he was working on trying to sell, and he had been sitting there bored. So he started taking comic backer boards and started drawing pictures of sci-fi and comic book characters doing mundane tasks. So one was Emperor Palpatine. I don't remember what he was doing, but one was Dr. Octopus making a sandwich.
That's awesome.
So you just see Dr. Octopus at the table, and the hands, like one hand's holding the knife, and one hand's holding the spoon with jelly on it, another hand's holding the jar of peanut butter, another hand's holding the bread, you know, making this. And the guy was selling them for like $2. And so he's like, $2? He's like, I'll buy both of these. And the guy's like, all right, you can have them both for $2. And he's like, no. He's like, I'll pay you $2 a piece for them, and could you draw me, like, one of the Punisher? And he's like, I guess. What do you want the Punisher doing? And he's like, I don't know, gardening? So he drew him a picture of the Punisher wearing one of those big straw hats, gardening. He's like, on his knees out in the garden. And he's just like, you should do these. He's like, no offense to your comic, but just do these. These are awesome. So he did that, and...
oh, man.
But he found some guy who will draw pictures of your family as zombies.
Yeah, because so. Pixel Dan got a picture of She-Ra as a zombie, and Scotty got a picture of He-Man as a zombie. And I tell you what, I wasn't there Friday when they got there on Friday. I only went Saturday. But at the time I spent with Scotty Cash in Artist Alley Saturday, I swear to God he asked every artist, you got a He-Man? Draw He-Man? No He-Man? Draw me He-Man. Literally. Every guy.
Well, he should have gone up to that, that dude who swings the other way, who had that thick trade paperback he was trying to sell.
Oh, yeah.
This is my book. I'm sure he would have drawn some He-Man that Scotty Cash would have stopped asking.
Wrong kind of He-Man.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. I found you an awesome Friday the 13th
yes.
print.
Yeah, you found, and Damien found another one, too.
Really?
So, but that one's like an 8x10
oh, that's cool.
piece. So, yeah, like, I've got to find two frames now.
Awesome.
Because the other one, the one you found, I think, was 11x14.
It's like 11x14, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Pixel Dan got me for my birthday a big, like, character of Marshall Bravestar in 3030, which is awesome.
So, there you go. So, there was some neat stuff there.
Yeah. Did you spend any money?
Not as much swag.
No?
I expected there to be a lot more giveaways, but they're just really... Well, because the big booths weren't there. You didn't have the DC booth.
You didn't have the Marvel booth. No.
Those guys are usually handing stuff out, and they weren't there.
Mm-mm.
So, just none of that stuff existed. And, you know, usually they have buttons and posters and things like... No. Uh-uh.
Although I did see some little tiny G.I. Joe posters towards the end of Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
At the Wizard booth.
Oh, I wish I would have known that.
Stacks of them.
Did you grab any?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. Sorry.
But there were like three or four guys who have been at every Chicago Comic Con that weren't there this year. There was one guy who always imports the gumball machine stuff.
The Gashapons.
Yeah, Gashapons.
Stuff.
That guy was not there.
Yeah.
He's been there every year.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, this year I was just like, screw it. I never see this stuff anywhere else. He always has ones of, like, these little Japanese gardens or little Japanese temples.
Yeah.
I've always been tempted. Never
bought them.
And so I was like, screw it. It's $7. I'm just going to spend $7 and buy one of these things. Not there this year.
Yeah. The guy that usually has some animation sales with him that are usually cheap, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Because I bought animation sales from him every year we've gone, and he wasn't there this year.
And so it was just kind of, you know.
A lot of bootleg DVDs this year.
Oh, gosh.
Buddy, let me tell you, I got
and guys selling ROMs.
Yeah.
Guys selling ROMs on DVDs. Like, there's, in no way is that legal.
No.
Like, it can't possibly be legal.
No.
But those guys are always, and there are guys selling bootleg DVDs of stuff in the store. Like, it's one thing when you say it's a TV show that's not on anymore. You can't go out and buy Misfits of Science.
Right, exactly.
Right? So cool. It's like, the guy has Misfits of Science, it's like, it's a collector's item, kind of a gray area, whatever.
Yeah, but somebody who's bootlegging the Dean Martin celebrity roast that you can actually buy from Time Life Video?
Or not even that, there were guys who had bootlegs of, like, The Flash TV show.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can walk into Best Buy and buy that.
Yeah.
So these guys are just flagrantly bootlegging, like, they walked into Best Buy, bought a box set, took it home, started burning discs and putting them in cases and just selling them at the show.
The bootlegs we saw of all the Extinct Attractions DVDs?
Yeah, Extinct Attractions we used to do a podcast for. They do Disney documentaries.
Yeah.
This guy had bootlegs of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I put a picture of it up on the website. So if any FBI agents want to get photo evidence, they're the bootlegs. And there's the guy selling them in the, I think he was wearing a red shirt. So.
Yeah, but I totally got my Power Pack unaired pilot from that guy, so I can't.
Well, and again, that's one of those gray area things.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's not commercially available, so it's kind of hard to, you know, argue one way or the other. But, you know, all in all, I'd say the show was about the same size as it was in the early 90s before the big boom hit.
Yeah.
So you can tell that it's kind of shrunk back down, but without a big DC or Marvel or Dark Horse or Image push, it just really felt like it was lacking.
Yeah.
Something big.
Even though you had big stars like Mark Millar and...
Yeah. But see, those guys were signing at the Wizard booth.
Yeah.
So you go to the Wizard booth for their thing. Yeah. I mean... Seriously, I think the biggest booth there was Aspen Comics.
Yeah.
And it was the same booth they had last year and the year before.
Yep.
It's the same booth they take everywhere. I think the only people that had Aspen Comics matched in floor space was Graham Crackers.
They had like six booths.
It's like...
And I know, because
and you
I
walk up
at
to one,
one
booth, you walk up to one booth and you're like, oh, I see you got toys. Do you have blah, blah, blah? And they're like... Oh, here, let's check the other booth over here. And you follow the guy. You know, he's like, oh, turn here, take a left, take a right. We're down here, over here. Hey, Bob, how's it going? You guys got blah, 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 blah over here? It's like, how do you...
Like, do they just pack up their whole store and bring it for Chicago?
Well, I think they have, like, five stores
or something. They do have, like, five
stores,
yeah. They got, like, they're all in the Chicago area.
So I'm guessing each booth represents a different store. Like, the store manager grabs stuff from their store. And bring, I don't know.
I guess, I don't know.
I mean, it was just kind of, it's just kind of weird. But, I mean, I swear those guys had as much floor space as Aspen Comics. Those were your two biggest representatives of the show was Aspen Comics and Graham Crackers. So that's
crazy.
That's got to tell you something right there.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
well, another year, another end of Chicago Con.
Yeah. So we're about 45 minutes here.
Yeah, that's all right. It's been a lot of fun. We'll be looking forward to C2E2. I'm sure we'll all be there for C2E2.
Now, we do have video footage.
Yes.
Damien took the HD camera and went to the Mark Millar panel.
On Friday.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what
Q&A
it was called.
Q&A with Mark. It was like...
Yeah, they had some weird title for
shooting,
it.
Shooting...
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And so he's got footage of that. He's going to edit together and get up as soon as he can figure out how to work a video editing program.
Be good times.
Which is probably something we should have taught him before we went on this excursion.
You know.
But
yeah.
But he actually went through Artist Alley, like we said, got all the artwork, but he also picked up a ton of books. So he's planning on pumping out reviews of books. So you guys want comic reviews, I'm going to be doing the mainstream stuff that we get in the stores, and he's going to start covering all this stuff. We're hoping in the next couple weeks, anybody who's familiar with Bad Kids Go to Hell. It's been a breakout miniseries from Antarctic Press.
Yeah, it's been huge. It's been for Antarctic.
Yeah, it's sold
creators.
Out. It's like sold out from Antarctic Press, which is like, really?
Yeah.
It's
which
like
Gold Digger doesn't even sell out.
Yeah, or Ninja High School.
Yeah, and those have been going for, what, 20 years
Yeah,
now?
A long time. So this has been a huge book for them.
Fred Perry and Ben Dunn just got to be going, son of a...
So we've got hopefully some interviews with those guys are going to be doing here in the next couple weeks, so that's pretty cool. And I'm hoping we can get a sneak peek at issue 4. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys are looking for comics and anything of that nature, I mean, VGLosers.com is really starting to blow up with it. Props to Dirt, props to Killen.
I found that when I post a toy review, it gets the most hits.
Wow.
You do a G.I. Joe toy review, and that's what gets the most hits, because people are searching G.I. Joe. You know, we're indexed by Google, and they find it, and there you go. But I found that the comic reviews get the most feedback.
Yeah.
I get comments on YouTube. I get emails. We get comments on our website from the comic reviews.
On our
More
forum.
So than the toys. Because the toys, people go, oh, that was cool. Or, hey, I hope to buy one of those. Comic reviews, you'll get some guy send you an email that's like 6 paragraphs.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like obviously people care. People are looking for... more of that stuff, because I've noticed that toy reviews have really blown up in the last year.
Yeah.
Like, they're everywhere. People are doing
toys. I mean, the
difference is not a lot of them are very good.
Yeah. Here's the difference, and we're not blowing smoke up our own buttholes here, but literally, VGLosers.com and ThatNewToySmall.com are doing something that a lot of people have tried in the past and have not succeeded because they're not good at it. At all.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, literally. I mean, think about it. I mean, a lot of these people have tried video reviews and tried this stuff, and they're not good on camera, number one. Number two, they're not using high-quality stuff. Number three, they're holding it with their hands half the time and trying to, like, flip pages and stuff. Okay, you can't do that.
And they're using, like, the webcam built into their laptop.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to hold stuff up and watch themselves on the screen while they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, literally. We are the best on the internet today doing what we're doing.
And you know why?
Why?
Because we did pro wrestling videos.
Yeah, let me tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. You ever want a crash course in how to produce something, go to the independent wrestling circuit and try to convince them to start using video in their shows. And you'll learn real quick, as Dirt and I learned, that you become experts quick on how to rig things up to make it work properly.
You'll figure out how to take a 3.5-hour indie wrestling show and put it in a 2.5-minute music video.
Yeah.
I mean...
And make it look good.
Yeah, I know. All right, so anyway. Almost at the 50-minute mark, so I say we wrap it up now.
All right.
Which we've said 3 times already.
Sounds good.
Alien Trespass, make sure you check it out. That new Toy Smell, talking about play sets this month.
Yes, yours just went up on Friday.
Yeah, and Scotty's doing next week, and then you're doing the week after?
I think I'm doing the week after, I believe.
Okay,
I
so you're doing week
check
4.
Check with Pixel Dan. If I'm doing this week, we're screwed.
Okay, good. we're also going to have, we promised in-depth playset reviews. Like, if you watch the video, I kind of played with my playsets while I was talking about them.
Yeah.
We're actually going to do actual reviews of playsets. None of those are up yet.
Yeah.
Because we've been working on Chicago Comic Con the last couple weeks.
San Diego Comic Con.
San Diego Comic Con before that.
Don't worry, they'll be up by the end of August, we promise.
So a couple are going to hit this week, a couple next week, and then probably just a flurry the week after that. So.
Yep.
keep your eyes open for playset reviews coming there.
Yeah, make sure you guys are checking out VGLosers.com and its front page, as well as the message boards that are both for VGLosers and That New Toy Smell. Join the community if you haven't joined yet. Chat with us. We're all available on there most days. Dirt's on there all day, so he can chat with you at all hours, pretty much.
There's the It Figures podcast, hosted by Pixel Dan, talking about toys. There's the Wrestling Radio podcast, which I do, talks about Raw and SmackDown. We do that twice a week.
There's the Rear Naked Radio that isn't Rear Naked Radio.
That isn't Rear Naked Radio anymore. No. Yeah, apparently someone started the Rear Naked Radio podcast about 3 months before we did, so we just said, you know what? You take it. We'll find a new name.
Yeah.
You know,
so
we don't want to make a fight about this.
It's just an MMA podcast right now, but
We got podcasts, we got videos, we got
Killen's coming up soon with his own show.
Yeah. So. Make sure you guys check it out, and check out Alien Trespass.
Yeah, check it out Tuesday on DVD and Blu-ray from Image Entertainment.
So, all right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
See you guys later.